We're in this season of Advent. We have this gospel where John the Baptist is preparing, trying to prepare the people for the coming of Christ, and that's what we're doing. We're trying to prepare for the coming of Christ. And you know, in our church, we recognize three different comings of Christ. We look back in history, 2,000 years ago, and we remember that Christ came in the flesh. And when we think of that, we think of, we should be filled with gratitude. How great is the love of the Father that he sent his Son to save and rescue us. And then there's Christ coming at the end of the ages. That's the other kind of aspect of Advent. We look forward to the coming of Christ when everything will be made right and that final completion of his kingdom will come about. But there's a third coming. There's the coming of Christ in our lives right now. And that's something that this Advent season, our church wants us to focus on. How can I increase Christ in my life now during this season of Advent? It's meant to be a time of renewal. One of my favorite quotes, I read this at Mass on Friday, St. Charles Borromeo, if you read the Liturgy of the Hours, the very first Monday of Advent, has this fantastic writing about how to prepare for Advent. And what St. Charles says is, when we remove all obstacles to his presence, he will come to dwell spiritually in our hearts, bringing with him the riches of his grace. So that's all we need to do, is remove the obstacles. And we prepare, as John the Baptist said, by repentance. We heard this kind of harsh words from John the Baptist. You know, people are coming to be baptized. You would think he would thank them. Oh, I'm so happy these people are coming to be baptized. He says, you brood of vipers. But John was a prophet. Prophets are sometimes harsh in proclaiming the word of God. So we do prepare by repentance. And just as a reminder, you know, repentance, we often think it's just this feeling of sorrow for our sins. Oh, I feel bad that I've sinned. Repentance is a decision of the will to turn away from everything that hinders our love for God, right? So anything, sins, even some neutral or good things in life, anything that hinders us, we have to think of repentance as literally turning away from all those things and turning towards God. And that's what John the Baptist was trying to lead people to do. And we've been going through this series in the Archdiocese of Denver on the Eucharist as the sacrament of love. And I'm going to try and tie that in a little bit to these readings, but really cover what our Archbishop wants us to cover. You may remember the first week of this series, we talked about how it all begins with understanding that God wants to share his life with us. God wants to be our friend. God wants to be in a love relationship with each one of us. That's the beginning and foundation of all of it. Love is at the heart of our Catholic faith. The great commandment, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So we did that in week one. Last week, you may remember Father Joe talked about some of the obstacles, some of the things that diminish that love. And he talked about three of the great sins. He talked about pride, sloth, and what was the, I have all seven of them listed here. I'll just say all of them, so I'll cover them. He talked about pride, envy, sloth, greed, lust, gluttony, anger. And these are all things, you know, not only the three that Father talked about, but all of those sins, the other four, they're all ways that we think we can find happiness apart from God. And that's really what it comes down to. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, gee, I'm going to be really prideful today, or I'm going to be really lustful today. People, all of us, myself included, we're attracted to these sins because we think we're going to find happiness in them. But happiness is found in God alone. We read that in Psalm 16. Happiness is found in God alone. And so how do we overcome these obstacles to our love for God, these things that diminish our love for God? How do we overcome them and enter into a deeper love for the Father? Well, John the Baptist told us, he says, repent. Turn away from all these things. Repent and receive the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to talk about that. I want to talk about what I'm kind of calling the synergy of love. You know, because love is at the center of all of this. Love is the beginning, the middle, and the end. It's not just as if John the Baptist or our church is calling us to repent because it's just, you know, our Heavenly Father or the church is angry with us. Repent, repent, repent. You know, it's not about that. We repent, we turn from things because we're so in love with God. Love is the beginning of it. Because we love God, we want to turn away from things that distract us. And there's what I call a synergy of love, like the cycle of synergy. It begins with love. We realize how much God has loved us, and so we love him in return. As a result of that love, we want to turn away from anything that takes away from that love. We turn away from all sin, all distractions. And when we do that, when we repent, as John the Baptist said, we're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes in power to help us live the life we're called to live. But one of the, and we saw in that first reading, I'll talk about it in a few minutes, all of those gifts of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel. But another part of the receiving the Holy Spirit is we love God even more. So we've made a full circle. See, we started with love. It led us to repentance, which led to the Holy Spirit, which increases our love for God. So this cycle just amplifies. It's synergistic. You know, in science, synergies when you have something here and something here and you combine them, and the effect is greater than the two individually. So there's a synergy when we enter into that cycle where we respond to God's love. He loves us, we love him back. We receive the Holy Spirit when we repent, and we love God even more. That's the Advent season that the Lord is calling us to enter into, that cycle of synergy, as I'm calling it. Because in the spiritual life, it works exactly the same way. So I want to go through kind of those steps very quickly. I mentioned the beginning is love, right? We understand that God loves us, and so we love him in return. The letter that St. John wrote, chapter 4, verse 19, we love because God first loved us. That's the reason we love God. We realize that God did not abandon us. He came and rescued us from sin, from Satan, and from death. We really believe that. That's the heart of our faith. God did not forget about us. You may remember last Advent we talked about this created, rescued, and then our response to that. God came to rescue us. It's like the people living in Europe during World War II under a tyrant. We didn't forget about them. The Allies came and rescued them. And so too, Jesus Christ came to rescue us. And because of that, because he loved us and rescued us, we love him in return. And we love God in the way we live. You know, we don't just love God in our emotions. We love him and we live for him. We love him in the way we live. And so we want to turn from things that keep us from loving him. So that's the second step. When we repent because we love God, then we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm on to the third thing. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, this is on Pentecost Sunday. Peter gives this incredible homily where he explains all of salvation history. He explains exactly what we've just been talking about, how Jesus came to rescue us from sin, that the Father didn't forget about us. And it says in the end of that chapter, the people were cut to the heart when they realized how much God loved them. And they said, what should we do? What should we do about all this? And Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See that connection between repentance and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, it starts with love, right? We realize how much God loves us. We love him in return. We turn away from those things that are sinful, that harm our relationship with God, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, just a clarification, all of us who've been baptized have already received the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is a gift that is, it's like, think of it as a trust fund. Imagine if you were born, and a month after you were born, somebody put $10 million in a trust fund for you, but you've never drawn out of that fund. For whatever reason, you've forgotten that it existed. I doubt if that would happen, right? But you haven't drawn from that trust fund. You know, Father Raniero Cantalamessa, I don't know if you've heard of him. He's the papal preacher. He's the priest. He's now a cardinal, I believe. He's the one who preaches to the popes. He preached to John Paul II, Benedict XVI, and now Pope Francis. He wrote a book called Sober Intoxication of the Spirit. And he talks about this exact thing. He says, all Catholics have received the Holy Spirit in baptism. But he says this, for the majority of Catholics, baptism is a sacrament that is still yet unreleased. And we all need a renewal of our baptism. Now, all of us are in different places. I know that I need more of the Holy Spirit in my life. But it's not like we would receive it for the first time. We've all been given it in baptism. We just need to access it and draw from it. There's power there for us. So pray this Advent for a new release of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, once we receive the Holy Spirit, it creates even more love for God the Father, for Jesus Christ, and for the Holy Spirit. And we enter into this cycle that I call this synergistic cycle, where love increases at every time. The other thing is the fruits and the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we receive. Okay, we talked about those we heard them in the reading today. And these are all designed to reinforce, to strengthen our love relationship with God. These are not gifts that are given randomly for our own use. They're gifts that direct us to love God more, to serve Him better, to live the life that He's called us to live. Everywhere in Scripture, in most of the places in the New Testament where it talks about the Holy Spirit, the word power is mentioned. Because, I think we all know this, we need power to live the life that God wants us to live. We can't do it on our own. And I was at a retreat, all the deacons, in fact, were at a retreat a couple weeks ago, and with Father John Ricardo, some of you may know him, gave a fantastic retreat to all the deacons, and he had this beautiful picture, an image, and it created in my mind a greater understanding of what it means to live by the Holy Spirit. You know, he was showed a picture of a lake, and we have to get from this side to the other side, and there's two ways to do that. We could row a boat across, which will get us there eventually, requires a lot of effort, or we can hoist the sails and let the wind take us across to the other side. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. We need that power to live the life on this journey we have to get to heaven. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need wisdom, one of the gifts mentioned by Isaiah, and understanding, recognizing the truth that God reveals to us, all that He's done for us. Knowledge, to know Jesus personally and to know and love His teachings. Counsel, to discover God's will for my life. The spirit of counsel. So that when we ask God, what is your will for my life? God will give us through the Holy Spirit counsel and understanding His will for our life. And then fortitude follows, because once we understand what God wants us to do, we need the strength and perseverance to do it. That's the gift of fortitude. And piety, we become like God, we become holy as we follow that plan and live by the Holy Spirit. And fear of the Lord, where we have just hatred for sin, anything that distracts us from our love for God. And again, love is the beginning, the middle, and the end of all of this. It's because we love God that we're able to repent, we're able to receive the Holy Spirit, and then our love for God increases. I want to end with a little story, a personal story. January 30th, 1983, was Super Bowl 17. It was, I'm sure that there's probably somebody here who knows what that Super Bowl was, right? Some people have an incredible memory for these things. Well, I'll tell you, it was the Washington Redskins versus the Miami Dolphins. And I grew up in the Baltimore, Washington area, and my team growing up was stolen by Indianapolis. I was a Baltimore Colt fan. They went to Indianapolis. We believe, as Baltimore fans, they were stolen. So this was a big deal. Washington Redskins became our team because Baltimore and Washington are in some suburbs only 20 minutes apart from one another. Big deal, big Super Bowl. I never saw a minute of it. Never saw any of it. And the reason is this. I was madly in love with a young lady that I had met. And I'll give you the end of the story. We ended up getting married, and we've been married for 38 years. But we had gone out on one date in the beginning of January. And, you know, I think most women would go on a date with a guy, right? But it's that second date. You know, she agreed to go out with me again, a second time. So this was a big thing for me. Like, okay, this is going somewhere, you know? And so we go out on this second date, January 30th, 1983. And there's nobody in this restaurant. It's mostly empty. And this is, again, in Baltimore, Washington. And I came to find out there's no one here because it's the Super Bowl. They're all home watching the Super Bowl. You know what? I didn't care. It didn't make any difference to me. I didn't mind it. I didn't even know. I was oblivious. Why? Because I was blinded and overcome with love at that moment in my life. And some of us, maybe many of us, have experienced that. And I pray that in the spiritual life, that's the same thing that ought to happen. We should be so in love with the Lord Jesus Christ that we're blinded. We don't even care about what's going on around us sometimes. We're so focused on loving him. We're so deeply in love with him that we want to just live for him, and we just put aside all the things of this world. So I pray that this Advent, as we continue in this series, we're headed towards the Eucharist as the sacrament of love, how the Eucharist increases that love in us, how the Eucharist fills us with love for the Holy Trinity, and how our life becomes holy as a result of that. So I pray that as we enter into this second week of Advent, we would be blinded and overcome by the love of God, that we prepare our hearts, as St. Charles says, and just make room for Christ to come and dwell with us, and he will bring the power of the Spirit, and we will be filled with love for him. Amen.